sword so named Palander, young Trafalgar, and raise it to the sky, said the old man. His long white hair moved with the breeze. Frost covered the rocks all around and down into the valley, such that all the world appeared as an empty land. I shall, replied the lad, feigning courage. I will take it and raise it so that it gleams in the sun. I will command a great army with it and slay my enemies in their own lands. I will subjugate them to work the wheels for my glory and imprison them in a deep, dark vault. But, Narwhimble, I don't really want to hurt anyone. A good leader never does, Trafalgar. Yet a wise leader would not allow their heart to betray them. Often we must turn to a mercy which serves a greater good. Just then, echoing everywhere, came the abrupt sound of hideous cackling. With the laughter of the dread warlock, Trafalgar's sword was vanished from his hand in but an instant. Pain then roiled under the skin of his arm as if some foul creature stirred within him. By the gods, Narwhimble, what is this? Whatever shall I do? Unbrave but noble lad, said the crackled old man, unveiling the hood of his cloak from which two of the most fiercely gleaming eyes shone, evincing a previously unknown power. Whatever you do, it shall not be alone. Narwhimble the Vague shall keep you to his breast like a sending bird. Ne'er shall you wander that I will not be at your side. Thunder then roared out from beyond high, jagged peaks. In the sky, all about Mount Cassadin, was the charcoal blur of rain clouds breaking upon sharpened cliff faces. Go, boy, run. Get thee to Skull Cave. I shall bless this clearing and speak with the animals before meeting you there. Until Palander is restored to your fist, we shall neither sleep nor shall we be safe. Run like the moon were falling from the heavens. For a moment, Trafalgar hesitated as if he too were frozen in the frost. But then he broke as a deer is off to do, sprinting up the winding trail, leaving footprints in the melting dew. Cold rain then came as the lad dashed forth. Above, the shadowy black hawk Frumful sailed on the storm winds, turning its wings into the gusts and watching the boy with cunning eyes. This is the beginning of my life, I suppose, thought the boy, running from my childhood like the rats did the silo when it caught fire. His clothing was soaked through, shivering in his bones and breathing heavily as he pushed through the ache to dart away. And at last he arrived at Skull Cave, its lightless mouth bringing him to a stumbling halt. Atralian had told the boy in one of his brother's foul moods that the Ick Man made the caverns its home. Atralian, having been birthed by Blade rather from between their mother's legs, was often miserable company, and often known to plague Trafalgar with tales of terror and woe. Yet between Warlurk and the Ick Man there were no weirding dice. The boy steadied himself and disappeared into the dark crack where everything was quiet.